You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort support serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. GLP-1 drugs, new miraculous weight loss drugs, are revolutionizing our approach to obesity. It's no longer a matter of willpower, we say. It's a medical problem that can be alleviated with a drug. The drugs are incredibly popular. Statistics show that 6% of Americans are now taking them. 22% of adults who are overweight or obese have taken GLP-1 drugs. Among them are Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound. And it really is a very, very challenging issue because these drugs are so popular, they're so effective. But at the same time, statistics show that there's a drop-off in their use. After 1 year, 68% of patients who started GLP-1 drugs, they're off them. And when they go off them, there's a lot of weight rebound. People sometimes go back to square one. The reasons for dropping out, well, a multitude of reasons. One, they're so darn expensive, some people can't sustain it. Some people just can't handle the side effects. Some people just get bored of pushing around a few morsels of food on their plate and they want to eat like normal people. There's a lot to unpack around these drugs. More and more of these drugs will be launched in subsequent years. It's estimated that potentially 60% of Americans are candidates for these drugs. They've even been proposed as companion drugs to statin drugs because they may have cardiovascular benefits. After all, losing weight is beneficial from a cardiovascular standpoint, so maybe over 100 million Americans will be taking them eventually. What are some of the consequences? What will it do to our burgeoning healthcare budget, already overburdened? It's suggested that if we introduce these drugs wholesale, it may double our expenditures on pharmaceutical medications. With us today is an expert on this subject. She is, by background, a pharmacist. She has a doctorate in pharmacy, a PharmD degree. She's Dr. Swathi Varanasi Diaz, known to audiences as Dr. Swathi. She's an authority on medications and an award-winning healthcare professional who is recognized for trailblazing work at the forefront of personalized medicine and healthcare innovation. And her background is that she received her Doctor of Pharmacy, a PharmD degree from Medical University of South Carolina. She became the first pharmacist in the U.S. to complete a postdoctoral residency in integrative medicine. So she really understands medicine from both conventional orthodox medicine side of things, as well as natural integrative medicine approaches. And following this achievement, she co-founded the Integrative Health Pharmacy Residency Program. That's something we want to talk to you about because, yeah, it's important for pharmacists to understand the implications of all those natural things, supplements that people are taking, and too few of them really have familiarity with that. She also has a postdoctoral fellowship in biotech and nutrition from Cornell University. So she's going to tell us about these GLP-1 drugs, some of the benefits, but as well as some of their drawbacks and some cautions on their use. And also talk about potentially an innovative adjunct to the use of a GLP-1 drug. So without further ado, here's Dr. Swathi. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Swathi. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. So, you know, have I kind of outlined the problem here? Because these drugs are ubiquitous. I mean, let's face it. There's no resisting this wave. As much as some people say, I want to do it naturally, and, you know, there are actionable ways to lose weight with diet and exercise. These drugs are here to stay, no question. And they're going to be a feature of our landscape in medicine and health going forward with the introduction of perhaps a dozen more drugs by 2030. So tell us about what we should be looking out for in relationship to these.
Yeah, and so, you know, when people are thinking of incorporating GLP-1s, it really has to be a patient-specific decision. So it has to be, you know, a discussion between the person and their healthcare provider to really assess, is this the right choice for them? You know, when it comes to misconceptions, you know, some of the misconceptions are, you know, first and foremost that the, you know, it's a magic bullet that all of a sudden someone is going to take it and it's going to be something that's going to work immediately and work very effectively. And again, this is a very personalized decision. And it's really going to depend on a host of things, you know, from the number of other prescriptions they're on, other supplements they're on, their lifestyle choices and elements like that. The second misconception is really that it's a fit for everyone. So you did mention, you know, millions of Americans could be eligible. But at the end of the day, again, we need to assess, is this the right choice for this patient in this particular circumstance? And then the third thing is that, you know, that they're free of side effects. And that's something that, you know,
they're a free ride. Yeah.
Exactly. We see people on the red carpet, they're thriving, they're, you know, they're living their best life, or so it seems, but what we don't see is behind, you know, closed doors the sort of side effects that they're dealing with.
Okay. So it's recognized that there are certain side effects, and there are warnings, label warnings on these products, and the physicians who administer them tend to look out for them. But, you know, a lot of people are accessing these drugs in kind of funky ways. You know, they're not necessarily doing it under doctor or health professional supervision. They're kind of finding black market ways of obtaining the medication, and it's just a matter of ejecting the medication, and it's not fine-tuned, it's not personalized, there's no guidance.
Exactly. And so that's something that we need to just ensure that as, you know, healthcare providers, as people interested in this, that we are assuming what is best. And I always talk about the risk versus benefit ratio in assessing if it's the right choice or not.
Well, so let's start with GI, because I think the most prominent side effects are gastrointestinal. That is acknowledged and well recognized. So what, from a pharmacist standpoint, what do you have to look out for?
So, you know, from a gastrointestinal perspective, there's nausea, vomiting, constipation, all of those things that, you know, we've seen high prevalence with. The other thing is that there could be some issues with stomach emptying and it impacting that process. And over time, you know, the combination of these things could lead to chronic digestive issues or even gastroparesis.
What is gastroparesis?
Yeah, so that is the issues with emptying from the stomach. Mm-hmm. It's a fancy term, but that's really what it means. And so that's something that over time with the use of GLP-1s, even if they're only used for 1 year, it is something that we want to keep in mind and something that could impact a lot of people taking these medications.
So it's basically a medication that kind of slows emptying or slows motility, mm-hmm. right? Although some people report diarrhea, paradoxically, so it could go either mm-hmm. way.
It could go either way, yes.
But so in so doing, I mean, you know, you could eat less. I mean, it's in a way like, you know, stomach banding or, you know, like a intestinal bypass, which tends to limit the amount of food you take in. So that's the way it works in the gastrointestinal tract. There's also some problems with adjacent organs, the pancreas. That's a thing too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's mainly because, you know, if we're thinking about the way GLP-1s work in the body, you know, they're increasing insulin secretion, they're decreasing glucagon secretion, and then they're overall just reducing appetite because they impact a lot of these different hormones like ghrelin and things like that. And so if, you know, we really want to think about, you know, with all of these different changes, that can really impact what's going to happen with your GI tract. But the thing is, too, it can also impact other things. So, you know, when we're talking about GI is tied to so many other aspects of our body. And so, you know, everyone talks about the gut-brain connection. And so how does that impact mental health? And then overall, if someone is taking GLP-1, something that we definitely want to look out for is how is it impacting the rest of the body? So, of course, there's fat loss. There also could potentially be muscle loss. And it's really becomes a whole person discussion.
So let's break this down. I mean, what I was referring to is there is a small risk of pancreatitis, which could be a devastating problem, even a life-threatening problem. And so how would one know, you know, if you're having your GI side effects, I mean, what's normal and is okay, and, you know, you might get used to it? Because there seems to be an induction phase, and sometimes doctors start with lower doses and work up gradually. That's the proper way to do it, although if you're doing the DIY way, you might not. You might just jump over that initial phase in. How do you know that you might be in trouble? I mean, do you supposed to just grin and bear it, or should you see a health professional and check in with your doctor if you're having problems?
One of my recommendations is that people should all keep journals, especially if they're starting new medications, new supplements, anything new. This could even, you know, pertain to nutrition. And so if you are having open, honest conversations with your healthcare provider and you all decide, yes, this is the next best step, what I would say is on the daily, just as you would take, you know, your supplements or your medication in the morning, granted some of these GLP-1s are on the weekly, but just keeping a habit of saying, how did I feel this morning? How did I feel at night? Just marking down, it could be three words at a time, right? Something very simple, but it's really easy to then bring that to your healthcare provider's office and say, this is how I was feeling. And, you know, especially as you're having normal check-ins with the use of this type of medication.
Right. You know, as a physician, I pay a lot of attention to the momentum of a symptom. And if a symptom is transient and is abating, you know, less of a concern. But if a symptom is continuous and seems to be worsening, the pattern is escalating, that's time to maybe pull the ripcord and check in with a health professional. So GI, we know that is a potential problem. But that's actually kind of how these things work is, you know, I've had dinner with people who are on these medications and, you know, they sit down. It's actually kind of a bummer because they're no fun to go out to dinner with because they'll order a main course and then they'll push it around on their plate. And then I'll say, my goodness, you know, you just ordered like, you know, a whole main course for $36 and you're leaving like half of it on the plate. For goodness sakes, get a doggy bag, you know, because it was an expensive meal. So the GI effects are well documented. So let's talk about, you know, let's break this down because you mentioned several. There's actually some speculation that certainly there's a gut-brain connection, but there may be a direct action of some of these hormones that are in here. They're chemical messengers, basically, not just on the gut, but directly on the brain, that they affect the satiety center.
Yes.
And that's great, but the satiety center is also very close to other parts of the brain that experience gratification in other ways. Yeah. So the as you know, the concern has been raised that, what kind of, you turn down the volume on gratification from food, maybe you just kind of turn down the volume on any experience of anything enjoyable in life, and people develop a little bit of anhedonia, lack of enjoyment of things in general.
Yeah, definitely. And so this is one of the kind of overlooked capacities of GLP-1s as well, is the effect on the reward pathways. So yes. This, you know, how the GLP-1s have an impact on dopamine regulation. And so, you know, this is the reward or the excitement or the appeal of exciting foods or like new experiences. And then what's tied to that as well is less food craving, right? So people are not getting the same excitement or anything out of that. And I think that really speaks to what you're saying is like with ghrelin, with leptin, and all these things associated with satiety, it's also the reward pathway that's impacted.
That might be a good thing because they actually say that people who take these drugs have less of a desire for alcohol, potentially for drugs. On the other hand, and this is controversial, and I know you follow the literature very carefully, and you see a pro and con on that. On the one hand, they say no increase in depression, but looking at suicides, some studies say no increase in suicide, but some studies are seeing a little bit of an uptick in suicide risk in people taking these medications. Now, you might say, you know, you lose a lot of weight. That's pretty exhilarating. That's got to be a plus in your life, right? You're going to feel good about it. But if there's an increase in depression and anxiety, it suggests that the medication's driving that.
Exactly. And it also could be tied to mood swings as well. And so it's like as much as there could be the positive, that could also swing in the other direction. Hmm. And at the end of the day, if someone's losing a big percentage of their body weight, that really does impact so many aspects of their life from, you know, clothing, all the way to, you know, the way people perceive them, the way they perceive themselves. And so it really becomes, you know, not just about GI, not just about health. It becomes about, you know, like more than just that.
Yeah, there's even a psychological adjustment because some people who, because of overweight, you know, they have issues of shame and self-worth. And, you know, suddenly their normal weight and they're on the dating shelf again. And that, you know, all of a sudden, that's got to be a bit of a psychological adjustment, which could be, you know, it's a good thing, but it could be challenging.
Yeah.
So another, and this has been brought up, and I think that they're beginning to do some studies on this, is, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, when I saw the program, The Biggest Loser, I said, this is not good. They're losing enormous amounts of weight very quickly. When you lose weight, you lose fat, but it's impossible to target fat without losing some degree of muscle weight. Now, we're all, as we age, undergoing a process of loss of lean body mass, then called sarcopenia. This leaves us weak and frail as we age. If we accelerate that process by losing weight rapidly, could that not be a problem?
Yes, exactly. And this is one of my concerns with GLP-1s and one of my kind of red flags with its use is that, yes, it could be, especially with Wegovy, right? It could be applicable to people with a BMI over 27 plus other comorbid conditions, but it could also be applicable for anyone with a BMI of over 30. And that's millions of people in the U.S., let alone the rest of the world. And so, you know, when we're thinking about, like, is this the right fit for all of these people? You know, we also need to take into account what stage of life are they in. And in particular, for anyone 40 and over, I think that incorporating something like a GLP-1 when your body is already not, you know, creating as much, you know, muscle mass and it's and naturally losing muscle over time, it really becomes more of a question of, is this really going to work for them?
So the drug makers have come up with a potential answer for this, as you know. They're actually developing plans for this. There are drugs called myostatin inhibitors. And I think it's a new term for a lot of people. So I think the best way to conjure an image of what these drugs do is to think of the super mouse. There's a picture of a super mouse when they first developed these drugs. These drugs are experimental drugs. They're not readily available. This drug blocks something that puts the brakes on muscle development. So it's a double negative. If you block something that blocks, you accentuate. So you actually unleash rampant muscle development. So you get like super mouse, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger mouse. You can also do this with cattle. There's like a super version of cattle. I think genetically they did this. They did like some sort of genetic manipulation to inhibit the myostatin gene, and it's like super muscular, shredded looking, massive cow. Now, these drugs are being developed. They're not, you know, being commercially approved. But it's suggested that when you take one of these GLP-1 drugs, that maybe you take as a companion drug these myostatin inhibitors, so that you lose the fat, but you enhance your muscle. So have you obviously you've looked at that because you developed a interim solution that is promising from the natural standpoint.
Yeah, and I think this is something that, you know, as we're talking about things that, you know, mental health, GI, the other thing is really that accelerated muscle loss. And so how can we combat that? And so when I'm seeing patients, or when I used to, I don't see as many anymore, but when I used to, you know, thinking about what can we do in addition to GLP-1s. And so I have a list of, you know, supplements that I generally recommend. I love omega-3 fatty acids from an inflammation standpoint, a protein synthesis standpoint. I love branched-chain amino acids, particularly leucine, that can prevent muscle breakdown and also influence muscle protein synthesis. And then in addition, you know, especially as patients are going through this process, we want to ensure that they're getting the right amount of protein. There's a lot of talk about protein right now. Right. We don't want to overload someone with protein, but
I just want to mention that when you have decreased appetite, one of the things that happens is, you know, you tend to undereat. And, you know, if you're only going to eat a certain amount of food and you maintain the previous macronutrient balance with maybe 60% carbs and, I don't know, the rest protein and fat, you're going to shrink your protein portion even more. So is the suggestion that, you know, with the little that people are going to consume, maybe half of what they normally consume, that they should lard on the protein a little more and maybe bias it towards more protein to support muscle?
Yeah, I would say it's all about whole foods and creating the right macro balance. So I don't want it to be so out of whack where there's too much protein. But that being said, one of the simple ways is a protein powder. So something that's a whey protein or even a plant-based protein. There are great ones out there. So those are some of the three that I recommend. The other one is Fortitropin. So this is a naturally derived product from fertilized egg yolk. And so there's...
Say it again, please.
Fortitropin?
How do you spell it?
Fortetropin.
Sortitropin?
Fortitropin, starting
with... Fortitropin. I mean, like in a musical term, like forte.
Yeah, it's like, exactly, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So forte means strong. Tropin means something that is a promoter.
Yeah.
So now, does this in some ways mimic the effects of... Is it merely a strong bioavailable protein, or does it have some myostatin inhibition qualities of its own?
So it has myostatin inhibition qualities. And so it's actually been studied in 6 different studies in humans and in rodents. And in one of the clinical trials that I always talk about, it's incredible. It boosted muscle protein synthesis by 18% in adults who were not exercising.
Wow.
So this was the only intervention that they had, and this was the increase that they saw. And you can find Fortitropin in different products. In particular, it's in a product called Myos MD. And so this is an HCP exclusive. So
Myos, M-O-M-Y-O-S?
So Myos MD.
Okay. This is brand new. This is not on my radar screen. And, you know, actually, this surprises me because I said, you know, let me book this lady. She's very knowledgeable about these drugs, that I think people need to know the ins and outs of these drugs. But I was surprised to learn that part of your remit is that you are in some ways a developer or an ambassador for a kind of a natural myostatin inhibitor product, which is this Myos MD.
Yeah, Myos MD. So I'm one of their scientific advisors.
Okay.
So after hearing about the product, seeing its benefits, I, you know, asked to join the team. And so I'm really proud of, you know, being able to provide this as an opportunity and as an adjunct to someone who's taking a GLP-1.
Right.
Given that, you know, it's only through the recommendation of a healthcare provider, that's, you know, I think also an added benefit that we're going to... Yeah.
So it's not just OTC, over-the-counter?
It's not OTC. Myos MD is directly through healthcare providers.
Fascinating. Okay. I guess that is a good way to offer it. Now, look, immediately my interest is piqued because I'm an aging athlete, and I'm fighting that process of sarcopenia. Although I consume large amounts of protein, I do take a whey powder, I take creatine. I do more resistance training than I used to. I used to be just an aerobic nut, just doing long distance stuff, and now I'm paying more attention to resistance training, which is more beneficial for muscle. Is this something that an ordinary person can do to stave off the ravages of aging?
Yes, definitely. And it's really in the combination of the way that you just described it. So it's how can we think about which supplements to include, the omega-3 fatty acids, the creatine, I absolutely love, branched chain amino acids, MyoSND. But then how can we pair that with resistance training? People get kind of a little, concerned if they've never done it before, but it can be, just starting small, starting with low weights and building up from there. And then also, how can we just get moving? So many of us now working remotely or otherwise, we tend to lead a pretty sedentary lifestyle. So how can we, start moving and exercise, walk our dog, do all of those things?
Indeed. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast with Dr. Sydney Sims, who is I think that's her name, Sydney Sims, who is a proponent of resistance exercise, especially for women, because that's kind of a ignored. I mean, men maybe naturally gravitate towards strength training because, we all want to look really shredded. But women may ignore that, but that's such an important aspect of longevity and well-being for women, especially as they age. All right, good stuff. This is a good point at which to pause because we've introduced a lot in part one. Let's elaborate a little bit on some of these medications, talk about some of the downsides and some of the ways to offset them. Our guest has a doctorate in pharmacology. Her name is Swathi Farinasi Diaz. Dr. Swathi is known to audiences, Dr. Swathi, of course. And she's a scientific and medical advisor and consultant with many innovative companies, including the aforementioned Myos, M-Y-O-S-M-D. And we're going to find out more about ways to properly undertake weight loss with these the new class of GLP-1 drugs that are so popular and so ubiquitous these days. And we'll explore more how to safely balance this out with lifestyle and natural support. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.